So good morning, everyone. Can y'all hear me today? Maybe. So I broke a tooth about a month ago, and then they fixed it, and I broke again last week. So I will try and speak clearly, but I won't guarantee it. So how was everyone's Christmas? It's been a while since I've been here, so I had to start at the beginning. Everyone have a good Christmas? Okay, how about the last big holiday? How about Easter? Okay, so last month I was at Jacob and Riley Zipp's wedding reception, and Lloyd showed up and he said, "Hey, how you preach next month?" I said, "Okay, I can do that." He said, "Well, it's after Easter." I said, "Yes, that is after Easter." And God said, "You should preach about Easter." And I'm going, "I don't want to preach about Easter. It's not Easter." God wins. So we're kind of stuck on Easter today. But we're not really going to be on Easter, if that makes sense. We're going to be in Romans chapter 3 to start, so I'd like you to go ahead and turn there. And then once you're all there, I'll ask you to go ahead and stand as you read God's word. And we're going to read verses 21 through 26. And that reads, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Bow with me in prayer, please. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for this day and thank you for letting us be here safely. Just ask that your heart would be with those who are out traveling. Just keep them safe, bring them back safely. And just thank you so much for the gift of your son dying on the cross for us. Thank you for Christmas where he came as a baby, and thank you for Easter where he was willing to die. And just thank you for everything you've done. Thank you that you are the great and mighty God of the universe. In your wonderful name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Okay, so as my slide says, we're talking about propitiation today. But to open that, ask you to go to the next slide. And I'm going to read this story verbatim because I'm not going to remember the entire thing if I don't. So once she goes to the next slide for me, I can do that. Okay, donuts. Who had donuts for breakfast this morning? Anybody? Okay, just my family. I love donuts. Our donuts were not that tasty, though, because they came from Walmart. But donuts are amazing. So the story reads, "There was a certain professor of religion named Dr. Christensen, a studious man who taught at a small college in the western United States. Dr. Christensen taught the required survey course in Christianity at this particular institution. Every student was required to take this course his or her freshman year, regardless of his or her major. Although Dr. Christensen tried hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon the course as nothing but required drudgery. Despite his best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. This year, Dr. Christensen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman, but was studying with the intent of going into seminary for the ministry. Steve was popular, he was well-liked, and he was an imposing physical specimen. He was now the starting center on the school football team, and he was the best student in the professor's class. One day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk with him. "How many push-ups can you do?" Steve said, "I do about 200 every night." "200? That's pretty good, Steve," Dr. Christensen said. "Do you think you could do 300? Steve replied, "I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time." "Do you think you could?" asked Dr. Christensen. "Well, I can try," said Steve. "Can you do 300 in sets of 10? I have a class project in mind. I will need you to do about 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this to work. Can you do it? I need you to tell me you can do it," said the professor. Steve said, "Well, I think I can. Yeah, I suppose I can do it." Dr. Christensen said, "Good, I need you to do it Friday. Let me explain what I have in mind." Go ahead and go to my next slide there. Yay, push-ups. So Friday came and Steve got to class early and sat in the front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a big box of donuts. No, these weren't the normal kind of donuts. They were the extra fancy big kind with cream centers and frosting swirls. Everyone was pretty excited. It was Friday, the last class of the day, and they were going to get an early start on the weekend with a party in Dr. Christensen's class. Dr. Christensen went to the first girl in the first row and asked, "Cynthia, do you want to have one of these donuts?" Cynthia said, "Yes." Dr. Christensen then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Cynthia could have a donut?" "Sure." Steve jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve again sat in his desk. Dr. Christensen put a donut on Cynthia's desk. Dr. Christensen then went to Joe. The next person asked, "Joe, do you want a donut?" Joe said, "Yes." Dr. Christensen asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups. Joe got a donut. And so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for every person before they got their donut. Walking down the second aisle, Dr. Christensen came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team in as good condition as Steve. He was very popular and never lacking for female companionship. When the professor asked, "Scott, do you want a donut?" Scott's reply was, "Well, can I do my own push-ups?" Dr. Christensen said, "No, Steve has to do them." Then Scott said, "Well, I don't want one then." Dr. Christensen shrugged and turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want?" With perfect obedience, Steve started to do 10 push-ups. Scott said, "Hey, I said I didn't want one." Dr. Christensen said, "Look, this is my classroom, my class, my desk, and these are my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want it." And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort to be getting up and down. You could start to see a little perspiration coming from around his brow. Dr. Christensen started down the third row. Now the students began to get a little angry. Dr. Christensen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Sternly, Jenny said no. Then Dr. Christensen asked Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut she doesn't want?" Steve did 10, Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desks. Steve also had to really put forth a lot of extra effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. There began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face. His arms and brow were beginning to get red because of the physical effort involved. Dr. Christensen asked Robert, who was the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch Steve do each push-up and make sure he did the full 10 in a set because he couldn't bear to watch Steve's work for all those uneaten donuts. He sent Robert over to where Steve was, so Robert could watch the set and watch Steve very closely. Dr. Christensen started down the fourth row. During his class, however, some students from other classes had wandered in and sat down on the radiators that ran around the sides of the room. When the professor realized this, he did a quick count and saw there were now 34 students in the room. He started to worry if Steve would be able to make it. Dr. Christensen went to the next person and the next and the next. Near the end of that row, Steve was really having a tough time. He was taking a lot more time to complete each set. Steve asked Dr. Christensen, "Do I have to make my nose touch on each one?" Dr. Christensen thought for a moment. "Well, they're your push-ups. You're in charge now. You can do them any way you want." And Dr. Christensen went on. A few minutes later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came to the room and was about to come in when all the students yelled one voice, "No! Don't come in! Stay out!" Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, "No, let him come." Professor Christensen said, "You realize that if Jason comes in, you have to do 10 push-ups for him." Steve said, "Yes, let him come in. Give him a donut." Dr. Christensen said, "Okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut?" Jason knew the room, hardly knew what was going on. "Yes," he said, "give me a donut." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so that Jason can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups very slowly and with great effort. Jason, bewildered, was handed a donut and sat down. Dr. Christensen finished the fourth row and then started on these visitors perceived by the heaters. Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up in a struggle to lift himself against the force of gravity. By this time, sweat was profusely dripping off his face. There was no sound except his heavy breathing. There was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two members in the room were two young women, both cheerleaders and very popular. Dr. Christensen went to Linda, the second to last, and asked, "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Christensen asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. Then Dr. Christensen turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears flowing down her face, began to cry. "Dr. Christensen, why can't I help him?" Dr. Christensen, with tears of his own, said, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I have given him this task, and he's in charge of seeing that everyone has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party this last day of class, I looked at my grade book. Steve here is the only student with a perfect grade. Everyone else has failed the test, skipped class, or offered me inferior work. Steve told me in football practice, when a player messes up, he must do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut? As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up, with the understanding that he had accomplished all this required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him and he fell to the floor. Dr. Christensen turned to the room and said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, pled to the Father. Into thy hands I commend my spirit," with the understanding they had done everything that was required of him. He yielded up his life, and like some of those in this room, many of us leave the gift on the desk, uneaten. Two students helped Steve up off the floor to a seat, physically exhausted, but wearing a thin smile. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said the professor, adding, "Not all sermons are preached in words." Turning to his class, the professor said, "My wish is that you may understand and fully comprehend all the riches of grace and mercy that have been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He spared not his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, for the whole church, now and forever. Whether or not we choose to accept his gift to us, the price has been paid. Wouldn't you be foolish and ungrateful to leave it lying on the desk?" So when I was in seminary, this story had just happened. And so we were all told it. And it made a big impact on me. Because that's really the best thing I've ever seen to illustrate what Jesus did for us. Go ahead and go to the next slide for me. So the question here is, what in the world is propitiation? Does anyone have an idea here? Oh, Bella's smiling at me. She wants to give an answer. I didn't think so. Okay, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it's defined as the act of gaining or regaining the favor of goodwill of someone or something, something that appeases as an atoning sacrifice. So who in here has done something wrong? Oh, at least I have some people saying it. Last church I tried this at, no one shook their hand up. So it's going, okay, we're all perfect then. What's the issue? But, okay, we have sinners in here. It's all good. So you all understand that you've done something wrong. Does that mean you can't go to heaven? No, on our own, none of us can get to heaven. Not a single one of us can do our own push-ups because we've messed up. But what about this little lamb right here? I know it's cute. I know it's pretty. It's a perfect little lamb. But for one of us, that lamb could die to cover our sin. And that's what the Old Testament required, is that if we sinned, we had to go and sacrifice a lamb for every single sin. And that's what's required in Leviticus chapter 4. So how many lambs would you have killed this week, this month, this year, in your lifetime, when you had to offer one lamb for every sin you committed? I don't know about you, but that would make me bankrupt pretty quickly. Because that's a lot of sacrifice. But our sacrifice was named Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Who in here believes Jesus lived a perfect life? Okay, does anyone think he sinned? Okay, we're on the same page then. Does anyone in here think there's anyone else in existence that has ever lived a perfect life? Okay, so is there anyone else in existence that could pay your price on the cross? No, the Bible says that Jesus Christ alone is the only one who could ever pay that price. Is it because he was a special man? Without a doubt. He was God incarnate, and God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us, knowing that he would live a life that was perfect, never sinning, even though he was faced with every trial common to man. And because of that, Jesus was able to be this perfect little lamb that died as a sacrifice for us. Go to my next slide for me. So who knows the scales of justice? Are they very just in the U.S.? I see some shaking heads saying no. Our justice system is not exactly fair now, is it? We see people get off of sin, doing things that are wrong all the time. Occasionally we see people actually go to jail for what they've done, but normally not. We lived in Oregon for most of the pandemic time. And did anybody else see Portland on the news? Okay, so Portland was pretty routinely rioting. They'd burned down police stations. We had a friend whose son was trapped in the police station while they tried to burn it down as he was a policeman. There were people kicking in windows, stealing stuff from buildings, rioting, looting, pretty much everything we're not supposed to do. And how many arrests do you think were made? Bella says two. Well, zero, sorry. But the answer is two. There were two pastors arrested for trying to stop it. So that is not just in the least bit. But this passage here in Romans, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to you all and on all who believe. Before Jesus Christ came, the law existed, right? It was given to Moses. We had the Ten Commandments and everything with it. Mankind knew without a doubt what we weren't supposed to do. Yet mankind routinely broke the law. Even today, we still break the law, having had it for thousands of years. But it says here in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not just some of us have. We all have failed. We all know what we're supposed to do, and we don't do it. But the good news is verse 24, where it says, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we had Easter a few weeks ago, and Easter is not about baskets of candy. It's not about little eggs being laid somehow by a bunny, which I'm not sure how that one works. It's not even about having ham, which I love ham. Easter was about Christmas. I see some smiles up at the front. So everyone loves Christmas, right? We get great presents. We have great food. But we ignore the fact that Jesus came to die. Yes, it's a gift that Jesus came. It's a gift he lived a perfect life. But he had to die for that gift to be meaningful for us. And that's why Easter is important. If you don't have Christmas, you can't have Easter. And I happen to like Christmas more because I like presents. But as far as theologically, Easter is where it really matters, because that's where propitiation is made. So no, I didn't really answer the question of what is propitiation. Propitiation really is something else paying for what we deserve to pay for. Has anyone ever had a bill paid for them by someone else on their behalf? I know I have. I know people bought me things as presents that I didn't deserve. I like that. But propitiation here is paying the eternal price of going to hell so that we don't have to. Because our sin says we must go to hell because we have fallen short. So in Hebrews 2:16-18, it reads, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he is to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So I mentioned earlier that Jesus went through everything we could be tempted with. That's why Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. He went out with Satan face to face to go through every possible trial. Did he have the desire to steal something? I'm sure he did. Did he have the desire to exalt Satan so he could have food? He responded with scripture saying that he does not live by bread alone. He was asked, do you want the whole world to worship you? Bow before me and I'll make sure they do it. And Satan said, or Jesus said, no. I will be glorified in my time. you may have the world still for a little while longer. How many temptations do we have that we feel we're alone in them? We feel that no one else knows what we're going through. It says here in Hebrews that Jesus went through every single trial, every temptation, and he passed them perfectly. Jesus knows what we're going through each and every day. And because he does, we have a faithful and just propitiation. We have someone that wants to comfort us, that wants to provide healing. But we have to come to him and accept him. So the question I asked before of justice, does that apply to life overall? Obviously, the world does not treat us justly. The world does not treat us fairly. But God treats everything justly and fairly. It says here that he is merciful and faithful in all things pertaining to God. And God's justice says, I need perfection. And because we're not perfect, I will never measure up to what God says his standard is. But his son did. And by dying on the cross, he met that requirement for each and every one of us. He set that scale so it is fair, so it is even, and it is balanced for eternity for all people. Now, of course, that brings the question of, if it's balanced and equal for all people, then why do people still go to hell? Go to my next slide, please. The answer there is, just like the donuts I read about, you have to be willing to accept it. In 1 John 2, it reads, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Has anyone in here ever seen a sign saying, John 3:16, throughout all the football games, right? And people go, woo, yeah! But they never say what it means. It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. It doesn't say because God loved the Christians, because God loved the church, because God loved the chosen people. It says, for God so loved the whole entire world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So I guess the question that should be asked is, who wants a donut? Yeah, I saw a hand. Okay, I agree with you. Obviously, it's in jest for that, but I like donuts so much, but that pales in comparison to the price that Jesus paid for us. In 1 John 4:10, it reads, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It is so hard to look at people and know that they don't have Jesus in their life. To know the people in Missoula that think they're free, that wander around going, look, we are free of all these burdens. We are free of the government. Ooh, that's exciting. But you're shackled by your sin, and that weighs more than any weight a government can put on you. It weighs more than anything else in this world. Our sin drags us down each and every day when we commit it. Only by forgiving our sins, by going to Christ, can we be forgiven of our sins. There we go. And there's nothing else we can do to be free of them. This story was about donuts. But it's not really about donuts. Just like this sermon is about a lamb that we saw earlier. But in reality, this sermon is about that globe. It's about every single person in this valley. It's about every single person in Missoula. in Montana, in the U.S., in the whole world, throughout all of time. For God so loved each and every one of us, he was willing to send his son to die on the cross. But just like the donut that I mentioned earlier, we have to accept it. We have to internalize it. Not just say, hey, I'll take that. That's amazing. You have to want it and make it yours. Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior each and every day. And he wants to take your sin. He wants to take your burdens. And he wants you to truly be free. We can go to my last slide there. So the big thing here is, obviously, everyone should want to be free of their sins. Everyone should want to be free of the burdens, but not everyone is. There are many that are going to go to hell today because they will die not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Will there be people here in Ovando that will die not knowing Jesus Christ? I'm not telling you guys to go to Missoula, to San Francisco, to China. But will it hurt to talk to your neighbor? Will it hurt to talk to your friends, your family, and tell them the fact that God loves them? That God came for them so that they can have eternal life. Because it's not about us being special. It's about us being forgiven. And we're only forgiven because God did the work. God did those push-ups so that we could have donuts. I'd like to go ahead and bow with me in prayer. Dear Holy Lord in heaven, we thank you for this day. And just thank you that you are a great, amazing, mighty, wonderful Father and God. We thank you that you were willing to send your Son, the perfect Son, to die on a cross for sins that he did not commit, he did not deserve, and take the punishment that we deserve throughout all time. Thank you that you saw fit to draw us to you and were willing to do all that work that we couldn't do ourselves. Thank you for the gift of eternal life, and thank you for salvation through your Son. We just ask that you would open the hearts of those around us and help them be understanding and willing to seek you and to come to you in repentance. Just thank you so much for the gifts you've given us. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen.